In a world where politics is all about the fighting.
I watch a George Will or a Charles Krauthammer. You know, I watched them for years. They're losers. They're just losers.
Piers, you also have to... Have you ever fired a weapon?
So that young man should have shot those people.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if someone had...
WCHL cuts through to the heart of the matter. It's time for I'll Grant You That. Reasoned, calm, thoughtful, with your host, Berkeley Grimble.
Welcome to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble. This is a show about politics. Usually we have people with opposing views on, but today we have an unusual show. I have a couple of guests on who have successfully lobbied the state of North Carolina to pass legislation, and not only pass legislation, but as I recall, pass it unanimously. In the studio, we have Mr. Mark Easley and Mr. John Demers.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming on. Briefly, starting with you, Mark, if you want to give us your basic background.
Sure. I'm a technology guy. I was in Silicon Valley for 20 years before I moved out here 16 years ago. And I advise a lot of technology startups in town. I'm an angel investor and part of that whole community.
John?
Well, my background has been small business. I had a limousine company. I had a cinnamon roll business. I then returned to my love, which was acting. And from that, I got into producing. And one of the things I found was lacking here in North Carolina for the sustainable film and television industry was working capital. Most of the projects here in North Carolina come from out of state. They would take the incentive and then leave, and the revenue went somewhere else. And I believe there's a model now for localized television and localized content to create that and utilize this new legislation to help raise some of the working capital. So I saw the need for access to cash. And some of the small businesses in the town I'm from, Apex, learned from them that they, too, were finding a shortage in access to working capital, even though they were, you know, fine and paying their bills and everything else. So my support came from the film and TV industry, but the need was great. And so I asked Mark if I could help with this.
Okay, well, let's first of all start. What is the name of the bill here that you had passed?
It's called the NC PACES Act. PACES stands for Providing Access to Capital for Entrepreneurs and Small Business. And it's an exemption to the regulatory laws around investing so that small businesses and startups can get investment easier from not only from accredited angel type investors, but also from everybody, the retail investors all around the state.
And this primarily would be through, I guess, internet sourcing. I mean, I think it's the internet which has enabled this whole thing to happen, right?
The thing is you can promote it online and you can do
okay, but this is not what we know of as Kickstarter when our friends send us, I want to do a project, write a book, have an album, therefore please send me money.
Right.
Okay.
This is what's called investment crowdfunding, which means you're selling securities or you're doing debt or loans online. And that's, of course, a heavily regulated part of our industry.
Yes.
And so, therefore, it requires law changes and new regulations to be able to implement something like that.
How many other states already have this?
About 30.
Okay, so we're not that far behind the curve.
Not too far.
So I guess so. There was a lot of precedent out there for how to construct it, I'm assuming.
The interesting part is we started this whole process 3.5 years ago, and we were the first state to actually write a piece of legislation that did this. But it's just taken us so long
really?
To pass it through the legislature that these other 30 states copied us and did it already. That's pretty much what happened.
Because it took longer for North Carolina to do it? It
took us so long.
So y'all have been working on this for 3.5 years?
3.5 years now.
Wow,
yeah.
Well done. That's a long, a long haul.
Yeah, it was a long haul.
So I guess a lot of the legislation had to be liberalizing the laws, or how, I mean, because I guess there's lots of protections in place, legal
yeah.
protections, saying if you are going to take my money and quote unquote invest it, I guess there's a whole bevy of regulations
right.
around that, and so you had to write new regulations or get rid of it, you know, I mean, or how did that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's called an exemption, which there's various exemptions for a lot of things in the securities industry. But the exemption means, okay, the law works like this over here, and it's really complicated and expensive and difficult to follow, especially if you're in the public markets, things like that. So exemptions are exceptions, which you write to say, except if you meet these certain requirements, you can do things a little differently. So our law is an exemption to the general securities laws in the United States and in the state of North Carolina to allow people to do crowdfunding, to allow people to promote it on the internet, and allow people to get their funds from retail investors.
Okay, so let's just paint a quick scenario here. Why don't you paint the scenario, John? You want to do a movie.
A movie or even a retail business. This works for any small business opportunity, not just mine. But you are that small business, and you need some working capital to either start the project, or you're an existing entity, and let's say you're retail, and in the retail business, you need your inventory cash flow, so you get that from your bank. In 2008 and 2009, the bank stopped doing all that. Mm-hmm. So small business, small stores, all of a sudden, that relied on that particular type of capital, don't have it. Now they're scrambling. They're running to 30, 40, 50 banks getting the same answers. And so they're now having to look at private opportunity. This particular piece of legislation works for them. That's just it in a nutshell. It works.
And you do this, I guess, without the normal brokers involved? Or, I mean, I assume, right. Are there middlemen cut out of this process?
I'm thinking
just because of normally you would, if I want to invest in, you know, anything, what, some company, a big company, you go through your broker, right. Who has to be licensed by the SEC, et cetera, et cetera. So does this remove that? Okay, so you've got your business and right. You want to borrow money from me. How do you do that with my? And how do I get protected?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
You can do all this with or without using an internet platform or a broker dealer, any of those things. You can if you want to, but it does allow you to do it without those. You put together an offering. An offering could be you selling equity in your company, or you're borrowing money, like with a revenue share loan or a convertible debt loan. And you still have to get the lawyers involved with all that because it's got to have a lot of specifics to it. But once you put that offering together, then you go promote it. And you can choose how to promote it, either with a partnership or do it on your own. If you're an existing small business and you have a lot of customers that love your business and like to help you open another one in the next, you know, block down, next street over, you can go to them directly by email, by a website, and solicit them to participate in your offering.
And is there a minimum? Do I set the minimum investment? Is there a legal minimum? Is there a legal return minimum? No, I guess that probably wouldn't be there.
There's no guarantees.
So it's all high risk. Of course, it's at a high risk level. I promise you some level of return. Do I need $1,000 or can I get $100?
You can get $100. The minimum size doesn't matter.
Okay.
In fact, some sites are using as low as $10 as a minimum investment.
Right.
And there's a maximum in the law, which is $5,000. You can't collect any more than that from any one investor for the offering.
Why is that?
If they're unaccredited, if they're retail investors.
Why?
Well, that's just one of the protections that...
Okay, just to keep anybody from putting all their nest egg, you know, I can't talk to my grandmother into giving me all of her money.
Right.
Now, if you meet the definition of an accredited investor, there's no limit like in any other opportunity. This assumption is you're sophisticated
because
you have that net worth, and you've probably done these before.
We need to take a short break here. This is Berkeley Grimble with I'll Grant You That in the studio with Mark Easley, John Demers. We'll be right back. Welcome back to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble, here in the studio with Mark Easley and John Demers. And we're talking about the recently passed NC PACES Act, enabling businesses to crowdsource funding. So when did this pass actually, Mark?
It just passed and got signed by the governor in July.
Okay, so brand spanking new.
Brand new. And so, it'll actually go into effect early 2017 when the regulators get the regulations all finished.
Wonderful. So you were going to say you're going to give us a little...
Yeah, I just want to point out for where I think it's going to be effective mm-hmm. tool. All the other kinds of fundraising tools still out there for tech startups and those kind of big companies. This is really a small business tool.
Small as in under few million capitalization?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
The maximum you can raise is $2 million if you have expensive audited financials. If you don't have those, if you're a new company or a new business, it's $1 million maximum. So this is really a startup or seed stage.
Right.
Method of funding, and it's you've got to be a North Carolina company. You've got to get your funding from North Carolina residents, so you have to verify all those things.
Another interesting
and
wrinkle.
Your revenues have to be at least 80% in North Carolina. So where this is going to work is on our small businesses that are doing local business, your Main Street type businesses, restaurants, things like that, that need funding to either get off the ground or to open another branch, things like that. And instead of going through the agony of going to the banks, they can go directly to their customer base, go directly to their friends or family and the fans of their business, and finance it that way.
And I would just be paying you back through whatever method. I mean, I guess that's between you and I and our lawyers.
Yeah,
I mean,
you and your lawyers, if you're the businessman, you and your lawyers will set up, a loan agreement.
Right.
Says I'm going to pay 8% over the next 36 months.
And
you as an investor buy a piece of that.
Right.
And the minimum, we also, my lawyers and I decide what minimum we're going to accept. Maybe it's $500. Mm-hmm. So for $500, you can come in and get a piece of that loan, and I'll pay you back every month, however the terms are.
But there's no guarantee. You have no leverage in terms of any ever collecting if, for some reason, my business goes south.
That's all in the structure. So some people can have collateralized loans and will offer those. Other people won't. It's just part of the process of due diligence you'll do as an investor to figure out. This is a high-risk loan. And, of course, the ones that don't have any guarantees behind them or any collateral will be higher interest rate loans.
Right.
And that's how we see how it works out there in the world right now.
And I, as a sort of not knowledgeable investor or customer, I'm kind of relying on, I guess, the integrity of the business, first of all, and then the fact that the laws are written in such a way that I will at least be protected as I can be.
Well, you're protected because, in the sense that it's a registered business. Mm-hmm. The securities division here in North Carolina has reviewed the offering and said that, you know, that it's within the parameters of the law, and those things are in effect. But I do want to mention very strongly, all of these things are high risk things.
Right.
You may lose all your money.
Yeah.
And that's part
of it. So who qualifies the business?
Well, there's a couple ways the business gets qualified. Sometimes there's a lead investor who's the one negotiating with your business to set the parameters, decide the offering level, decide the valuation of the company, things like that. That's typically how it always works in the startup world and in the tech startup world. And so you're sort of relying as an investor that there's a smart lead investor out there who's doing all the negotiating for you.
Ah, interesting.
And they're also putting in their money.
Right.
That's why they call them the lead investor.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But if it's just a loan, there's more of a judgment factor of your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the process will make sure it's a legal loan in the sense that it meets the law. But you have to decide how much you're willing to risk. And that's where most people use diversification as a method to minimize their risk. They don't put too much in anyone because anyone might go out of business or disappear. You don't know. But if you spread that out over enough loans, then you tend to get a higher rate of return.
But it could be structured as either a loan or equity.
Right.
I mean, you could do either or.
Yeah.
It sounds fairly flexible.
It is flexible. Cheaper and easier than the federal ways of doing it.
Yeah.
So we think it'll be a good solution for us.
Well, let's get down to the sort of the process of how you were able to do this and actually lobby. And I mean, was anything like this on the radar at all? I mean, did y'all sort of create this impetus to do this from scratch?
Yeah. It came from the federal law they call the Jobs Act, which actually one of our North Carolina congressmen, McHenry, was the author of that. And when the banks collapsed in 2008, he came up with this idea to make a federal exemption to allow crowdfunding and allow people to promote these offerings online, which made a lot of sense. Now, at the state level, we can do things cheaper and faster and easier than they ever do, always do in SEC and in Washington, D.C. So we were actually the second state to try it. The first was Georgia. And they did a crowdfunding set of regulations without even passing any legislation. Their regulators just wrote it out and said, let's try it. Not long after that, I was reading about that. I came up with the idea to let's do it at the state level. And we did it as a state piece of legislation led by Representative Tom Murray, who was my representative in Cary, and the Secretary of State Securities Division, a guy named David Massey. They put together this exemption legislation, which was about 9 pages long, which defined how all this would work under state law and the state securities regulations, and that's how it came about. The interesting thing from the politics of it was when we first did that back in 2013, and Tom Murray brought it up in front of the legislature, it passed immediately by itself, 103-1, the first time it went through the House, because everybody got the point. They all have every small town in North Carolina has small businesses that can't get loans from banks anymore. So if this could even possibly help, they wanted to try it and do it.
Well, certainly in our world today, with the polarization we have today, the fact that you could get that kind of a almost unanimous bipartisanship certainly speaks to the almost obviousness of yep. of what you're trying to do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could how could anyone say this is not a good idea?
Right.
Yeah. So then
it didn't pass.
It didn't pass.
It didn't pass.
No.
Not that first time.
Huh.
Nope.
Because.
Well, at that time, and this is probably the interesting thing for some of your listeners is how did it break down? You know, here we've got a.
If everybody's going rah rah,
everybody loves it. No uh-huh. one can find a thing wrong with it. It's already passed the House of Representatives by 103-1. Why won't it just fly through the Senate and become a law? And this is where I started learning about politics, not knowing anything about it myself.
Because good ideas should pass, right?
You would think.
Yeah,
you would certainly think that a really, particularly a really good idea. Well, we have to take another short break here, gentlemen, and we'll have to finish the story after the break. This is Berkeley Grimble with I'll Grant You That. This is Berkeley Grimble. We're here with the last 4 minutes of I'll Grant You That. So, gentlemen, we have 4 minutes left to finish telling the story of how you managed to get this legislation through the North Carolina legislature. Mark?
Good. So, when we left off, it had passed 103-1, and it looked great. This is in 2013. It goes over to the Senate side, and what happens is what so often happens in every legislature all over the country. Here's a guaranteed can't-miss thing. Let's attach something to it.
Ah.
And guess what? All the stuff that was so controversial got attached onto, and ours was always Section 1 of the bill, crowdfunding. We love it.
Like, what did they stick on?
Oh, I can't remember, but it's the first time around, there was like 9 or 10 different uh-huh. things, and all of them were
egregious, horrible things by someone's standards
horrible,
or another.
Yeah. Some of them were just mildly egregious.
Right.
Things that otherwise weren't going to pass, and they were trying to use this crowdfunding bill to drag it through.
Because they knew it was a slam dunk.
Right.
So it failed in 2013. The next time around, same thing happened, more things attached to it. So finally this year, I was almost to the point where I didn't even want to try again. But a lot of the people that supported it really wanted to give it one more try in the short session. And my recommendation to them was, look, if you can get the bill voted on by itself, it will pass. And it will pass instantly like it has already in 30 other states who already copied it and did it.
Uh-huh.
Only the world, only ones can't keep ourselves in our own horse race. So luckily this year we had a lot of support all across the board from the governor, the lieutenant governor, the secretary of state, and the commerce secretary, and all the leadership, and everybody was in favor of it. And Senator Berenger from Kerry, mm-hmm. was the one who stepped up and put out another version of it that was a standalone bill and started pushing it. Got great help from Benji Jones, Silver Smith.
So did they just have to lobby the other folks to not attach?
Yeah, they were just—
That was the push.
That was really the thing.
I mean, because obviously anybody can attach unless somebody's come to me and said, listen, let's not— I mean, it's back behind the scenes. You're figuring out, okay, let's let this one go without trying to
that
put our favorite attachment
so
on it.
So we had the governor and Secretary Scavarla and Secretary Marshall out there basically saying—
All different political parties there. You know, you got the Republicans
right.
and the Democrats saying the same thing.
Saying, don't break it again.
And then people
just
like Mark and I running around to the people we know in the working saying, stand alone. Just do it as a standalone.
Yeah.
You can take credit. If it's a standalone, it'll pass.
Right.
Everyone can then go home and say, look what I did.
Business. Yeah.
I wasn't obfuscating. I wasn't creating any problems. We passed this.
Yeah.
And
wonderful.
And then it did 100%, both houses.
Unanimous.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, good work. Well done. Absolutely. I mean, I'm even more impressed now that I hear the full story. So as it stands now, starting next year, if anybody in the listening audience, if you have a business, you will be able to have a much easier access to funds, particularly if you have people who already support your business,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Or if you have a great creative process.
You need to look into this.
Right. I mean, do you have to? Is that a criteria, by the way?
That your bank says no?
Yeah.
No, but
okay.
Most banks say no.
We have most banks, because I know that some of the federal things are, if your bank has to say no, or you can't,
yeah,
you know,
for some
grants and things like that. But no, it's completely wide open.
You can raise part or all of the funding you need this way and do some of it other ways, too.
Well, that's wonderful.
Let me just give a quick website if anybody wants to check it out. It's www.jobsnc.blogspot.com.
Why don't you say that again since it's so long?
www.jobsnc.blogspot.com. www.berkeleygrimble.blogspot.com.
Well, Mark and John, thank you so much. It's been most informative and most interesting. This is Berkeley Grimble with I'll Grant You That.